you can take it off.
Yes, sir. What's good, y'all? You already know what time it is. It's Mo Sports TV. It's October 5th. It's already fucking October. I know life is going fast.
It's fine.
But we're going to be here every week for y'all, every Tuesday or Thursday. It depends on how we feeling. Yeah. But this is week
five.
Jesus, man. Preview, week four recap. Got a lot to talk to. A lot to talk about. I'm with the gang, Matchy and myself, CMO Sports. Big Ed will be here in a few. He ran into some traffic on the parkway. You already know how that shit go. But make sure y'all support us by following us on all platforms. Make sure y'all make sure y'all rock with My Movies Plus, man. My Movies Plus, man. Movies Plus. On the app, they're rocking with us heavy,
and they got a lot of content coming out, man. It's really exciting. If you guys are familiar with Corey Tusek, we had him on here 2 weeks ago probably, and great guy, great message that he's trying to get across. And I'm an advocate for Movies Plus heavily.
I love Movies Plus. They're great.
There are some good people, so definitely make sure that you're going over there, showing them some love, and let them know Mo Sports sent you.
That's for sure. Movies Plus app. We're streaming and we're live, baby. You already know what time it is. Mm-hmm. But let me
NFL week five. Let's talk about some Thursday night football, because I know a lot of people are anticipating tonight's game stinking, but I don't know. Am I the only one that's kind of looking forward to it? Like, is that kind of weird? I don't know. Honestly, I mean, obviously I'm a Justin Fields fan. So like,
this is how I look at it. I have money on the game. Anytime I have money on the game, yeah, I'm excited for it. And that's sickening. That's actually
yeah.
This is a sick Negro.
Type activities when it comes to gambling. Make sure you go to Gamblers Anonymous. If you can't control your gambling habits,
call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, I saw a tweet today that was like, how to spice up Thursday night football, throw in a plus 5,000 parlay. And let's enjoy some TNF on Prime. Yeah. I mean, there really isn't going to be much, I would say, superstardom in this game. But I'm excited to see two offenses that are kind of looking for an identity do something, right? Like, I anticipate, especially now we got the news that Dick Butkus died.
Rest in peace to Dick Butkus.
Yeah, I'm expecting something. I mean,
I see some scripts starting to script.
Yeah. Goated game from Justin Fields breakout game.
No,
I got a little carried away.
Yeah,
I got a little wonky Zalonky.
I think it's gonna be actually a pretty decent game. I did a parlay of Sam Howell over 1.5 passing touchdowns, Curtis Samuel over 2.5 receptions, and Brian Robinson over 50 rushing yards with the boost. That's like plus 533.
Okay.
So I like that a lot. I'm going to rock with that.
I mean, I'm just saying, I've noticed a lot on Twitter this past few days, especially the Terry McLaurin appreciation beginning to ramp up a little bit. I saw JPA football, and then I think it's like ML football or something of the sorts as well, both showing Terry McLaurin some love. But hey, man, we caught some heat when we brought up Terry McLaurin being an elite wide receiver about 2 weeks ago. That's all I'm going to say. People are still bashing us on Instagram for that take.
Matt, send Jeff a link, an invite link.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We'll get you in here, Jeff.
I got you, Jeff.
But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I do think the Commanders ultimately come out on top. I would not be surprised. I think the spread is, what, plus 2?
Tonight, I want to say 5.5.
5.5?
It was like 5. It was like Bears plus 5.
What up, Jay? I don't know. I don't know. I do think the Commanders win, but I do think the Bears cover. That's how I look at it. I think the Bears are absolutely fucking stinky.
Yeah, they stink. That's a fact.
But I also think the Commanders stink. It's a primetime game. Dick Butkus just died.
The script
might be scripting tonight. I can't lie. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Bears money line happen because of Dick Butkus.
So in this case, a Justin Fields anytime touchdown is looking very prominent, because if the Bears are going to win, Fields has to win.
He would have to rush one in order to win, you know. But like, I don't believe in that script. I'm not going to see it until I believe it. I mean, I don't believe it until I see it. So I like Commanders all the way through. That's why I did a Commanders parlay.
Uh-huh. Amanders lay.
The Commandos. I'm trying to commando the FanDuel robots.
Hey, FanDuel odds, man. They're out here to get you. They throw you profit boosts like it's nothing, like they're bones, just so that they could rip you off on regular odds. Like, they're not slick, man. They're not
slick. DraftKings is worse when it comes to parlays.
It's all bad.
SGPs on DraftKings are actually disgusting. They don't even show you the odd calculation. That's how you know it's bad.
Yeah. How are we feeling about Fields over 44 and a half rushing yards? I like that. I like Fields over on rushing yards, and I like Brian Robinson, man. Bullet bag Brian. He's out there for a reason. The guy's a stud.
I like Brian B. Rob anytime. I like B. Rob over rushing.
Okay.
Justin Fields over rushing could definitely smack as well, but I actually think the Commanders' defensive line is good enough to contain him.
Chase Young
is there.
Can we get a Chase Young sack tonight? What are the odds on that?
That honestly, that's a good little
There's no way he prop. Doesn't get a sack because he's like back now. You know what I mean?
He's back. He got a sack last week.
He had like 3.5 sacks in the first half of one game, I'm pretty sure.
He
was going nuts the past few weeks. Bears money line +210.
He's putting 2K on it.
Sheesh.
Big Paul Zaranis.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you're a wild man. Boy. But, hey, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if the Bears pull this out.
May you get blessed by the Buckus.
I'm really, really rooting for the Bears for two reasons. One, the Commanders are in the NFC East. And two, the Giants will be one step closer to Caleb Williams.
That's true. So, for that reason, we're pulling it out.
Oh, God.
I got it right here. We're rooting for him tonight, baby.
I'm not rooting
Let's
for
go.
Him.
Let's he go. Let's go, Fields.
Sucks. By the way, this guy fucking sucks. Fields fucking trash. But let's talk about actually – this is why I think the Commanders are going to just actually beat the Chicago Bears soundly because of last week. That OT banger versus Philly, let's talk about it because
– Now, what stood out more to you, how good the Commanders were or how mediocre Philadelphia was?
Two things stood out to me because I really don't think the Commanders are that good.
No.
At all. I don't think the Commanders – are to be respected in even the NFC East. I think they are a stinky team. I still think they're light years away from the Cowboys or the Eagles, and they are the Giants' stepsons at that. So for the Eagles, one thing I've noticed about the Eagles is that they are really like playing down to their opponents this year.
They're
playing down to their opponents. Besides Tampa Bay, I mean, Tampa Bay even kept it somewhat close throughout the game. The Eagles pulled off in the fourth, but they're really playing down to their opponents, and they're going to be caught. They're going to get caught slipping against a bad team if they continue this trend.
Yeah.
They need to start beating teams with absolute dominance like the 49ers do. They need to start dominating teams like even the Dolphins. But as far as, like, once again, I'm not impressed.
No, they're not.
I'm not impressed. They're 4-0, but I understand that, and, you know, I respect it, and I think the Eagles are a great team, but you guys keep on playing down to your opponents. I was going to post again in the group, but it's just tiring at this point already.
Yeah.
It's already tiring to say it was another humbling experience. I think Eagles fans understand that they're playing down to their opponents. And if they don't, like, you're delusional because the Eagles are absolutely playing down to their opponents, and they're going to get caught slipping because of it.
Does
I promise
anybody
you.
Actually think that this is the Eagles in their best, like, form right now? Because, like, the offense even still is not clicking on all cylinders. It's always one guy or the other. We haven't seen a game where they've come out and put up 30 and really just gotten that lead ahead and just held that stout defense. Like, the defense is – they're slipping up a little bit. I don't know.
They've been giving it up, bro. They definitely been giving up. They lost a lot of pieces, though. They lost Hargraves. They lost Gardner Johnson. They lost, some good pieces.
Bradbury's stinking again.
Bradbury's back to form, you know. I'm still rocking with Slay. I'll give you guys that.
Slay's still solid.
Y'all lost Maddox.
Yeah, that's it.
That hurts. Jalen Carter is a fucking godsend, and you guys are so fucking lucky to end up with them because of the poverty fucking Bears. But all I gotta say is they're not gonna be able to do this against the Niners if they keep up this trend. That's all I'm trying to say.
No, definitely not. And it's like there's a clear gap in the NFC between the 49ers and anybody else.
I agree.
Honestly, like, the gap between Dallas and Philly is closer than Philly and San Fran.
I agree as well.
So I don't know.
I'm looking forward to Monday night. We could talk about Monday night's game is San Fran versus Dallas. And that's the game of the week. That's for sure. That is the number one game of the week. I'm looking forward to it. What do you think is going to happen in that game?
I think we get a Brock Purdy masterclass. I can't lie to you.
Brock Purdy masterclass, huh?
I mean, I think Brock Purdy is going to throw for 3 touchdowns and 250 yards. And I think we just see, it doesn't even have to be him diming up anything crazy, but just him giving his guys the ball in space and just letting them work. I think we're going to see a touchdown from Debo, Ayuk, and obviously a CMC anytimer is a given.
Yeah. I think Dak is going to make some mistakes for the first time this Monday.
But playing a good defense, shocking.
He hasn't played a real like solid defense yet. So that's why there hasn't been really any mistakes. Like, yeah, he played the Patriots. That's a solid defense, but it's not a 49ers defense.
No, not,
that's for fucking sure.
Not when they're on the field for 3/4 of the
Now, game. I will give Dallas this. This is the first time since 2021 that all 5 of their offensive linemen will be playing together.
Wow, that's pretty.
That's a very interesting stat that I saw today. And I'm like, wow, they've been doing this since 2021 without their full 5 on the offensive line. And that might be a contributing factor as to why they've been struggling.
Yeah.
But I still think 49ers are the better overall team. Losing Trayvon Diggs is going to hurt. Yeah. It's going to hurt. I don't think it hurts that much because I think Blount is just as good, low-key. But and I think Stephon Gilmore is absolutely better than Trayvon Diggs.
Definitely better. Still has some left in the tank for sure.
And that Cowboys defense front 8 is still doing what they're doing. So, I mean, people think that the Niners are just going to roll over the Cowboys. That's just not what is going to happen. The Cowboys are here to play. You know, they lost a fluke against Arizona. I think that was an actual fluke, a Vegas trap game.
It was 100%. Let's just call it money on the Cowboys.
Let's just call it for what we see it. And honestly, I could see the Cowboys upsetting the Niners. It could happen. Yeah, it could happen.
It absolutely
could happen. I'm sorry. All right, let's get our first caller on the line. Jeff. Okay, you got the equipment, you got the headphones with the okay, Jeff.
What up, boys?
Equipment, right.
Yeah. You know, you guys aren't the only one with the setup.
I love to hear it. What you got to talk about today, man?
So, two things.
Right.
One, I'm sorry about your team, man.
It's all right.
Everybody wants to bag on you, but.
It's okay.
And it's not Jones. It's not anybody. It's just that whole damn team.
It's kind of Jones.
It's a part of it. Yeah.
But anyways, the real topic is I just read an article today on ESPN, and they're talking MVP, and they have Brock Purdy in the conversation, but not CMC.
Crazy, right?
So who's your MVP right now?
Well, I still have Tyreek Hill right now. As my MVP, but I do think CMC will have the strongest case by the end of the year because the Miami Dolphins aren't as consistent as the 49ers in CMC. CMC gets a touchdown every single fucking week. He's gotten a touchdown every single week since he's been on the 49ers.
14, 15 straight weeks now, not just on the 49ers, even before that, even on the shitty ass Carolina Panthers, he was getting touchdowns.
Yeah. And he continues to get 100 plus all purpose yards per game easily. Mm-hmm. Never mind rushing. He usually gets 100 yards by itself.
Easily, yeah.
And I don't see the 49ers losing no time soon. And the Dolphins will lose games. The Dolphins will lose games. They will struggle. They struggled against the Patriots, they struggled against the Bills. You know, the Niners don't struggle. CMC doesn't struggle. So I think eventually it will be CMC's to lose. But here's the thing. MVPs are a quarterback position.
Exactly.
It's a quarterback position.
Despite him not being as high up, I think Josh Allen right now, if they were giving out an award, I think they would give it to Josh Allen, just being that it's a quarterback award. He's probably playing the best out of any quarterback right now, right? Is that –
over Tua?
Tua has way more yards. Yeah, he just beat Josh.
But you're giving Tyreek Hill the MVP over Tua.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And that's what they were saying about you can't have Purdy. you can't have Purdy and CMC in the conversation, because how can they both be the most valuable player on the same team, right?
Yes.
Like that's hard to have that argument. And you're right about the Niners not losing. They've got two toughies against the Cowboys and the Browns. Mm. And then their next real test is December 3rd against the Eagles.
Oh, man, they got a smooth month of
November. That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see how good the Niners really are, you know, because at the end of the day, the Giants were only down to the Niners by like 3 points going into the fourth quarter.
Well, and that's the other conversation right there, is the Niners have only given up more than 20 points once this year. The Eagles have only given up less than 20 points once this year. So
defense is not Teflon, man. I'll tell you that much. They're
and
not.
The Niners are rocking the number one offense right now in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Eagles can stand up against that. I don't think, honestly, I've been a Packers fan my whole life, so I've always hated the Niners. And I live in California, so I'm surrounded by Niners fans.
Okay.
Damn, they are good. It's probably the best. What? Oh, I'm in Sacramento.
Sacramento? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Light the beam.
Cool. Light the beam, baby. I think this is the most complete team that we've seen since maybe the 90s Cowboys. Like,
really, but Patriots, like the early Brady Patriots,
because they didn't have the weapons. They had Brady.
I mean, he made everybody a weapon.
Exactly.
Like
17-0. I mean, 16-0 Patriots.
With Purdy, with Jimmy G, with whoever you put into that Niners offense last year, they went through four damn quarterbacks and they were still winning games. So yes, Purdy's great, but that whole system, that whole team, I think it's the most complete team we've seen in 3 decades.
Wow, that's a hot take. I can't be mad at it because the success is right there, you know, until proven otherwise.
Well, they have to win one first and foremost before they get that title. They have to win one.
Yep.
They got to absolutely win one with dominance, because that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
No, you're 100% right. Yeah. And that's going to be what tells the story. Now, last topic is I'm really embarrassed to admit that last Thursday's game was horrible. It was bad. Yeah. But that's exactly, I talked about it at the beginning of the year. That's the Green Bay Packers I thought we were going to see this year.
Right.
I thought we were going to be in the running for Williams, because I really didn't have faith in Love. And now I've got a little bit more faith in him after seeing him for a few weeks. But that was pitiful to lose to the Lions like that, division game.
I'm going to tell you this right now, Jeff. The Lions are arguably, well, I think they are at least the third best team in the NFC. At least, and I'm talking about at least.
Yeah,
they could give the Eagles a good run for their fucking money.
They have.
I'm telling you that right now. I think the Lions could give the Eagles, especially with Aiden Hutchinson, the way that he's playing right now.
The
offense. We already know what the offense can do on Detroit, right? Detroit's gonna put up 30 points no matter fucking what. It don't matter who the fucking defense is. I mean, obviously not every single week, but they have a good enough offense to threaten 30 points every game. Now on defense with Aiden Hutchinson, with Gardner Johnson, with a lot, you know, with some guys that are absolute dogs, they're playing well on defense as well. And they could fuck around and upset some people in the playoffs, man. And I think they win the division.
Dan Campbell, the passion that his players play with because of him. I think he's coach of the year already in my mind. I mean, I thought he was in a run for it last year, even though they didn't make the playoffs. But what he's done at the Lions is absolutely unheard of, turning that team around, getting buy-in from all the players. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to play for him. And those guys leave everything on the field every week. So I think you're right. I think the Lions, even though, again, being a Packers fan, they're my arch rivals, but I actually cheer for them. Most of the time, just because Dan Campbell is such a contagious guy. He's so fun to follow.
You can see from Hard Knocks how cool of a guy he is, and how passionate of a team that is in general. Even last year, they were crying during training
Jamal
camp.
Jamal Williams. Yeah. After that game, too. Wasn't that against the Packers, right, where he cried?
Yep.
Yeah, he had like three touchdowns or something. And I mean, Dan Campbell said he was going to come out and he was going to eat people's kneecaps. We're out here now winning football games and a result. Like, I can't be mad at
it. They haven't even unleashed Gibbs yet.
No, Gibbs isn't. He doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance. They're
putting him in the pocket for later on in the year. That's what I think.
Yeah, he's a second.
They're going to wear down Monty.
If you got him on your fantasy team, don't trade Jahmyr.
I wouldn't trade him. Just bench him for now. Just bench him.
So that's actually a really funny question when you talk about benching a running back now. Do you think what we've seen this year is going to affect the running back market next year? Are we going to see any contracts? Is it going to be? I mean, Jonathan Taylor's still sitting over there, Indy, on the pub.
They're killing themselves every year, more and more.
Yeah,
like they just make it worse and worse for themselves every single year. Saquon's not helping anything now.
Nick Chubb's leg fell off. That doesn't help.
Nick Chubb is cooked. Eckler's been gone for the past 3 weeks. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor is not even suiting up this week, I don't even think. And he's off the fucking
Dobbins tore his Achilles.
It's
all bad.
There's nothing to show me. That's like, I mean, Kamara just came back, had a decent game.
But nothing says invest in a running back.
At all.
So are we going to see that again? They're just going to tag everybody? Or are they even going to waste a tag on it? I don't even see them being worth $10 million if they're not going to give them a contract.
Depends on the guy, I'd say.
Depends on the player, right? Like, I feel like the only running back right now deserves real money is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Nobody else deserves, like, a long 4-year contract, you know, in the NFL as a running back. The lifespan is way too short. It's usually 2.5 years, tops for most running backs. Now, if you're talented, you'll get like maybe to 5 years before somebody rips your fucking kneecap off, you know? So, I mean,
rare instance. In the
it just sucks. I think the NFLPA should come to an agreement with the NFL next contract round and be like, hey, instead of running backs getting 4-year rookie contracts if they're drafted in the first or second round, give them 2-year rookie contracts.
Ooh. I mean, but that's only going to benefit the top 5-10% of the guys. The other guys are going to be screwed because they don't get
2 years and then never see the league.
Yeah, literally.
Well, I mean, we are talking about the top 10% of guys. I'm talking about the guys that are drafted in the first round. Those are the guys who are really upset, right?
True.
And I'm talking about first round talents only right now. So, like, yeah, I mean, that's what's really getting affected in the running back market is the top guys.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the regular running backs, the young running backs, they don't care. They're getting their bread and they're getting gone, but the Ecklers,
the Saquons,
the all of these guys,
the Swifts, the Jacobs,
Taylors, you know, they were all drafted in the first round, you know.
So what do we think happened to that then? I mean, we used to have running backs that would go 10 years. I mean, Barry retired early at what, 31? The game's gotten safer, supposedly.
It's because it's gotten safer for quarterbacks, and it's gotten more dangerous for running backs.
It's because of they don't want people hitting at the knees, and they also don't want people chipping, and they don't want people hitting shoulders up. So it's like you have very minimal space to where you can tackle a guy, and that forces, like Minka Fitzpatrick said when he hit Nick Chubb, I mean, he had no other choice but to tackle him at his, you know, quads area. And in result, you know, one guy went high, one guy went lower, and he got hurt because of it. And I think that's, you know, to blame because it has nothing to do with, like, roughing the passer. That's made the game safer and is kind of like people argue back and forth of how those calls go. But running backs are just getting beaten up at the knees constantly because of these blocking and, you know, tackling rules now.
Yeah, it's gotten more dangerous for running backs. It has gotten safer for quarterbacks. And the result is these guys are going at the knees because of they're not allowed to hit them high anymore. They're not allowed to, like...
You can't hit stick anybody anymore.
Yeah, no. You can't hit them in the head no more. So it's more, they're all right, we're going to go for your knees now. We're going to go for your legs. We're going to fucking chop block you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all that has to do with ligaments. You know what I'm saying?
Is there a way to fix it?
Or take away the turf?
Well, that would be a good start is banning turf because in general. And that's for all positions, not just running backs. Nick Chubb got
hurt because his cleat was in the turf while he was, you know, getting hit. If that was his foot would have gave out and that would have been it.
So what was that, $11 million or something for them to replace every stadium with grass that has real turf grass, now?
Yeah. It's not really the initial cost.
$11 million.
That's a drop in the butt. Like, seriously? And they don't want to do it? Why?
I'm going to tell you why. Because the initial payment isn't what's the problem for the owners. It's the maintenance of the grass that is what's costly. You got to spend like $3 million a year on maintenance of the sod. You know, replacing the sod, watering it, cutting it constantly, doing the lines. The line work is really where the money's being spent on the turf.
You could do it like you could spend a ton of money on it, and we saw in the Super Bowl that it could still be wrong. I mean, they had the sod father out there, and he still fucked it up. You know, it was still too slippery.
They can't. The problem is with these big events with sod is that they're putting in the sod day of or day before. If it's sodded, if the sod is connected to the dirt at the bottom, which takes a couple of days to do, then you won't have to worry about those slipping things. But
if it's $5 million a year to do it, they have more dead money on their payroll right now than that. It doesn't make any sense to me why they don't do it. I will say, though, Green Bay's got real grass, and our field looked like shit from week one. So yeah, you're slipping around, but you're not necessarily pulling ACLs and shit like that. So I don't know. I think they should do it.
It's a performance thing, like you said. Like, it's a little bit tougher to catch on your cleats, you know. But also with turf, it's too easy to catch on with your cleats, you know. So they got to find a happy medium. There needs to be some technology made, artificial turf that is safe, that feels like sod and takes beatings like sod. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You would think that there would be a proper technology by now, with the way technology is ran in this world, that you would think there would be a surface, an ideal surface would have been made by now.
But, yeah, but we can get to Mars, but we can't make a surface to run on, play football on.
Right, exactly. So you know how that goes. But right.
I'm going to let you guys go, get back to it. But good talking to you. I love it.
I appreciate you always, man. Enjoy your night, you be bro. Good. I'll see you next week if you try to pull up.
All right. See you, boys.
Yep.
All right. Cool, man.
All right, man. Let's go back to these previews. What else we got in this next week's schedule? Anything really catching your eye like that?
I like... Also, the Chiefs Vikings. I think that's going to be a high powered game.
Is this a get right for Kirk, where he could finally get the ball back in his hands instantly and just pass? That's all he likes to do, is just throw the ball, right?
Well, here's the thing. I think the Chiefs have been playing down to their opponents as well. I think they've been playing close games every single week. They've been playing good opponents every week. They played a close lines game. They lost.
Yep.
I think the Vikings are going to give them a little bit of problems, too, with their high-powered offense. I think Kirk is going to be able to get some shit off. I think he is. I think he is. And I think they're going to put up 21-plus on the Chiefs.
They might.
But Patty's going to go crazy.
That Vikings defense is poo-poo.
It stinks.
It's really bad. And I don't think I just can't see a scenario where the Vikings can compete. And, like, yeah. They might put up 21, but they're not going blow for blow. Like, if they're putting up 21, then the Chiefs are putting up 50. That's all I know. Pat Mahomes might go for the record now. He just watched, you know, Miami 2 weeks ago put up 70. He might just start slinging the seed, knowing that they have, you know, White Castle employees in the Vikings secondary. So, I don't know.
I think it's going to be a definitely interesting
one. Is Taylor Swift going? Do we know if Taylor Swift is attending?
She'll be at every single game for the rest of the year. I promise you. She'll be in the skybox of every single Chiefs game for the rest of the year.
Just doing key lines. That's it.
Key limes and key lines.
Yeah, that's all that's happening.
Key lime pie, baby.
Her and Jackson Holmes skiing in the suites. That's it.
Black diamonds.
It's crazy. Man, Eagles Rams will be interesting. I mean, this is another one. The Eagles could really slip up here if they play down to their opponent, man.
You can't play down to the Rams. I'm going to tell you why, especially if Cooper comes back this week.
I don't think he's back this week, but I think next week he will be.
I want Cup to play this week so bad.
Shit, my fantasy team wants him as well.
The Eagles secondary is sus.
Poo-poo.
Cup could go crazy, or Puka.
I saw a film of Cup at practice today, and he was looking quick.
He was making Puka look like a fucking, like a punk.
Like a high school player in them cone drills,
yeah. Bro. He was really, he's ready to play. The way I saw him go through the drills, he's ready to play right now. I just don't know if the Rams are ready to play him against the Eagles.
Yeah.
But the Eagles, like I said, it's not a good secondary. It's a good way to gain your confidence back and get back into rhythm going against Bradbury or... Yeah, I mean, I think Slay will be on Puka.
Yeah, probably. And don't let Stafford, you know, get hot. That's all I'm gonna say. Matt Stafford, when he starts unleashing the ball, I don't know if Kyren Williams can play.
I was just about to say that.
That's gonna be really pivotal. I think that's really what's gonna decide this, how crazy the Rams can get on offense.
Kyren Williams needs to step it the fuck up. That's all I gotta say. He's getting mad volume, but he's not getting the yards per carry that I'm liking. He'll get two touchdowns, but how far away was some touchdowns?
I haven't really watched Rams games.
Neither have I.
Like that. But I mean, from what I've seen, statistics wise, the stats are there. But if you're right, he's getting the volume, and he's not. You know, yes, they're Chips Ahoy.
Eagles secondary is Chips Ahoy. I will say that they will get eight. Pause. What do you think will be the largest blowout of the week? It might be the Giants Miami if shit gets funky. I actually think it's going to be a good game, but the way the Giants have been playing, it's either like very good game or blowout.
I'll tell you what, man. The New York Football Giants against the Seattle Seahawks Monday night. That was the night that I really lost faith in Daniel Jones as a Giants fan. You said it in the group chat. I have not seen as bad of a play out of Jones as that pick six was.
That pick six hurt.
That, like, staring down Darren Waller the entire time. He turns that button around, and you just give it up. You just gave it up like a cheap – oh, my goodness.
Like a cheap slut.
Yeah, it was bad, man. That was really disgusting work from the Giants. And I'll tell you what, man, if this game this week is a blowout as well, I'm like 65% in on Caleb Williams, doing anything we can in our power to make sure we get him. If we lose this week to the Dolphins, as bad as, you know, you're saying it possibly could get.
It could get bad.
It really could.
It could get very bad.
And when we have Wink Martindale making public comments,
talking about he's crying at night every 2 hours.
Our defensive coordinator is up having sleepless, teary-eyed nights.
Here's the thing. Our defense is not even bad.
It's not.
We don't even have a bad defense. It's our offense that's absolutely fucking terrible. But Mr. Hayward versus Neal.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Oh, man. It could get really ugly. I just want to recap real quick the Giants Seahawks. Obviously, it was probably... I feel like this was a worse game to watch than the Dallas game. This game frustrated me way more because we were actually in the game.
Giants didn't.
We were actually in the game all the way until that pick six.
Seahawks didn't win the game. The Giants lost. That's how I like to put it. I mean,
Geno 11 Smith. Fucking sacks is unbearable to watch. It's the most unbearable thing to watch as a sports fan than having a terrible offensive line and giving up more than seven sacks. Six sacks, too. I'm ready to lose my fucking mind. Okay, yeah. Five sacks, I'm ready to fucking lose my shit. All right, 11, I was just laughing at that point. I
turned it off after probably like seven.
I was laughing the whole time watching. But Jones had absolutely no time in the pocket. I'm going to say that to say this. Terrible offensive line. Not a single quarterback would have been able to work with that on Monday night. Not one. I don't give a fuck. Not even Mahomes. Nobody could have been able to work with that. Literally. But I'll say that to say this. There is no fucking excuse. No fucking excuse for that pick six. Absolutely no excuse. And anytime Daniel Jones actually did have time, he folded. He didn't place the ball where it was supposed to be. And here's the craziest part. He passed for over 80% against the Seahawks. But they were all under 5 yards.
And completion. They were all just snap throw.
You snap know. Throw, snap throw. I don't even think we took one shot past 20 yards.
No, we didn't.
We didn't take not one shot. Now, that's saying something about, obviously, the offensive line. He doesn't have time to even look downfield. Two, it has to do with Daniel Jones not even being able to read shit correctly because of how much time he has. Three, I don't even think Kafka is even dialing up anybody going deep. Well,
I have an issue with the fact that Jordan Whitehead is then coming out, a rookie, and talking about Daniel Jones and saying, you know, we knew coming in, Daniel Jones loves to stare down his first target. When a rookie is making these types of comments about your quarterback, I mean, has he regressed in this past year? I mean, we were defending him, saying he threw for 300 yards and two touchdowns in a playoff game against the Vikings, and now all of a sudden we're seeing regression? This is insanity.
That's not what we want to see. I definitely think Daniel Jones has regressed this year since last year, and it's a fucking shame. It's a fucking shame. And you know what? Oh, $40 million, they're making fun of us. Okay, it was a mistake. But guess what? It's not 4 years like y'all think it is. It's 2 years. He can opt. We can opt out next year.
Jordan Whitehead's fantastic. I don't. That, there was no slight to him. I mean, he's great. It's just you can't as a year five, four or five running quarterback. I'm sorry. You have to be better. You can't just give it up like this. This was bad. This is all bad. It's all bad in New York right now. It's a dumpster fire. So that's really all I have to say.
It's really our offensive line. Honestly, that is the number one problem. That is the number one problem with the Giants. Not Daniel Jones. It's the offensive line. And let's make it very fucking clear for you guys. There was only one starter on that offensive line on Monday. One. And I think one second stringer. Maybe two second stringers. But the rest were third stringers, bums. I'm talking about bums out there. Yeah. People I've never even heard of. And they were looking like turnstiles on a DJ board. They were looking like a fucking jog wheel. It was disgusting. Listen, they were getting spun. What the fuck? 11 fucking sacks. Unacceptable. I don't give a fuck if you're a practice squad player. I don't give a fuck if he signed you off the fucking streets. 11 fucking sacks is not it. No quarterback in the NFL can survive 11 fucking sacks and still win the game.
Honestly,
I don't give a fuck what anybody's talking about.
Honestly, at this point, let Saquon get as healthy as he needs to be, because when you got Leonard Copes on the front line blocking for you, you know, I don't want my man getting any more injured than he needs to be. This is nasty out here.
Nah, real shit though. We need Thomas and Saquon back this Sunday. I don't give a fuck. Very bad. Bro.
And get Justin
care.
Pugh out there while we're
Justin
all
Pugh's starter. I don't they want to sign him to the practice squad. Why? You know he's light years better than McKeithen. He's light years better than fucking Bradison. He's better than Glowinski. He's better than Lemieux. He's better than all these fucking bum ass interior linemen. We need JMS back. JMS was in that center. He was got hurt the first fucking play. We need him back. If we can get Thomas, JMS, and Saquon back, the offense is going to look a lot better, is what I'm trying to tell you guys.
Yeah. So. Yep. All right. What else we got going on? Bengals, Cardinals. I main mentioned, is it bad paying quarterbacks? Burrow, Watson, and Jones are all stinking. Well, this better be a get-right game for Joe Burrow. If you're looking for one, here it is against the Cardinals, because we saw the way Daniel Jones was able to bounce back in the second half against, you know, Arizona. I need to see something here from Joe Burrow. Obviously, the injury to T. Higgins kind of stinks, but pick up Tyler Boyd in your fantasy leagues.
What happened to T. Higgins? He got hurt?
Yeah, it's like a knee sprain or knee bone bruise, something of the sorts, I want to say. Maybe MCL sprain. It's like 2-3 week injury, but they said he could miss some time.
Look, the Bengals could very well lose to the Cardinals this Sunday, sadly. I do think the Bengals win. But look, the Cardinals aren't nothing to fucking sleep on. As they've proven that. They gave the Giants a run for their money. They beat the Cowboys.
We've got a DJ Moore touchdown.
Got a DJ Moore touchdown to start the game?
Yep. The Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Shout out to Drake for all the dogs drops tonight. So
that's going to be exciting.
That'll be fun. I'll roll up a spliff and listen to that bad boy. MJ Saturday, Jama Grill Sunday is going down this weekend.
It's
going to
be lit.
It's going down. I got the hoes pulling up to both. Pull up. And I'm DJing at MJ's. It's going to be lit. And I'm playing whatever the hottest Drake song is that dropped that Friday. I promise.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know why I thought it was a knee. I could be totally, like, I don't know. There's so many injuries in the NFL. I just look at, if you guys are not plugged in with Dr. Jesse Morse, the fantasy doctor on Twitter.
Yeah, he's great.
That guy's the fucking GOAT, man. Absolutely.
Can we do a little switch of pace real quick? Let's talk about some MLB playoffs real quick. I think that Philly Braves, Jeff Tillman, that Philly Braves series is going to be really good. It's going to be another second round banger. That's who they played in the second round last year, correct?
Yeah, I hate enjoying.
I do think the Braves are going to beat you guys this time around, though.
I'd agree.
I think the Braves got y'all this time.
The Braves are pretty nuts.
And they're fucking crazy, bro.
I feel like that Cinderella run, you know, you can only get so much lightning in a bottle. So I'm excited for the Braves. They anytime, like, who's going to be the hidden gem for the Braves this series? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that pace with them. So whoever wins
Philly,
that.
Look, I give much respect to the Phillies this year. I really thought it was a fluke run. And it wasn't. They're fucking good. They're a good team. Getting Trey Turner helped a lot. Bryce Harper staying healthy helped a lot. They're a good team. They're a fucking good team. I respect the Mets fucking suck, and we'll be back next year. Oh, let's talk a little bit of Mets too. The Mets just fired Epler as well today. It's the GM. Epler,
Sleepy Billy.
Yeah, Billy's gone. He's out of there. So now we fired Buck and Epler. I'm interested to see who's going to be the replacement.
I'm hearing rumors of Dusty Baker.
I like Dusty Baker. I would really, really want us to run back Carlos Beltran. We were gonna have Carlos Beltran, and then because of the whole Astros shit, we weren't allowed to. It spoiled it. I still think he could be an excellent manager. I do. I really think he could be a great manager.
He'd
be good for the locker room, right?
I don't hate
it. He'd be great for the dugout. I don't know.
Hate it. I mean, and we got news that the Yankees are expected to keep Aaron Boone. So,
of course.
Yeah, that's disgusting. not much to say about that. Dusty's getting a bit old. 75 this year.
Yeah, that's old, man. That's like running. That's like getting another buck. You know.
Yeah, they're both going a little senile, but I don't know. Dusty might still have a little bit left in the tank. It's just whether he wants to take on a whole new team, because that means he's going to be there for at least 2 years, right? Like,
yeah, I think Beltran or somebody young would be much more
more analytical.
Yeah, we need a new age baseball guy.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, let's move back to the NFL.
You want to do our little start bench cut? Because I want to hear take on this one.
Start bench cut. You already know. Chat, make sure y'all hit us with who y'all starting, who y'all benching, who y'all cutting, and why. We're going to go with rookie quarterbacks. I mean, one of them's not a rookie, but it's his first year starting, so rookie enough to me. Jordan Love, Stroud, or AR. Start bench cut. Go.
All right, so listen, I understand C.J. Stroud has had an incredible couple weeks. I still think he's probably the start here. It then comes down to Anthony Richardson or Jordan Love. Now,
it's tough, man. This is a really tough one.
It's like, who are we taking right now, or who do we think we're building off of? Because
who are we taking right now?
Right now?
Right now. Right now.
See, Imane says Stroud, bench Love, and cut AR.
I don't know about that, though. AR is a fucking dog,
AR
man.
Is nasty.
AR is nice.
Himself, man.
He's nice.
AR creates for himself. I really like his consistency.
There's no wrong answer to this, and that's why I like start, bench, cut with like these type of players, because there's no wrong answer. And me, personally, I'm going Stroud.
AR love,
but like it could easily be the reverse of that. It could easily be fucking AR love Stroud. You know what I'm saying? It could be fucking love Stroud AR.
That's my.
That's not a wrong answer. There's no wrong answer to this. I feel like
Jeff is a little skeptical about the throwing ability of AR. But listen, Pittman's been doing well. Pittman's targets are, you know, he's still able to get his. So I don't know. Stroud has been lights out so far, hasn't given the ball away. AR is nice. He missed a game, so I put him last. Yeah, I mean, the concussion thing is kind of a concern, but Love has played well. Don't let that recency bias of that one bad game fool you. That he's been balling out.
And, like I said, there's no wrong answer. All three of these quarterbacks are young, promising dogs that are going to have great NFL careers. I would take any of the three on the Giants in a heartbeat. Is what I'm trying to say.
If you're picking one to lead your team, it's got to be C.J. Stroud, though, right?
Yes. Right now.
He just has all
just right now, he has everything, and he's got the swag,
the
too.
Most important part for
he
me.
Has the number one NFL touchdown dance. 2 weeks into your fucking NFL career, that's saying something. That when you're talking about NFL, influence has to be brought up as well. Just like in the NBA, Allen Iverson had a lot of influence, right? Stroud already with the number one NFL dance, the number one dance, TikTok dance in the country right now, a couple weeks in. Mm-hmm. That says something as well to me.
Yeah, and Stroud's doing this all with a pretty shitty offensive line as well, which is really
terrible.
What an
ass team. Now, don't get me wrong, Nico Collins and Tank Dell, great additions, but are they dogs, or is it just Stroud making them dogs?
A little bit of both.
Right? So, I mean, let's see what happens with these Texans. I'm very invested in the Texans to see how they do, because I thought this was going to be a very bad team, but they have proved me wrong thus far.
Houston, Atlanta, Falcons just can't get out of their own way, man. Desmond Ritter's really bad. He's very, very bad. He's somebody that if he was in that, like, he
That's going to be a good game. That conversation. It's going to be a good game. I think Houston wins, though.
I agree.
I think Houston wins too. Just because Ritter is just that bad. Bijan is an absolute dog. They just need a quarterback. And here's the thing. The NFL is going to get real interesting next year because the fucking quarterback draft class this year is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not just talk about C.J. Stroud here. I mean, not Stroud, but Caleb Williams. You got Shedeur Sanders. You got Penix. You got the guy from Penn State. There's like five quarterbacks that are top 15 draft talent.
Yeah.
This year.
The Falcons might be in the running for one of those guys. Anyways.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say it's going to get interesting because there's going to be teams with good rosters like Atlanta. Mind you, Atlanta has a good defense for the first time this year.
Yeah, they're
they have everything in place. They got Pitts, they got London, they got Bijan. Literally, all they need is a quarterback. All they need is a gunslinger, bro. Yeah. That's all they need. They need another Matt Ryan.
I agree with this. I don't know if Shedeur is ready, quite ready.
Yes, he is ready. Yes, he is ready. He is ready.
Falcons have Heineken.
He is ready.
I don't know. Not if they're commanding the tank. It depends on what that front office is thinking in there.
They should give Heineke a shot.
I think some of them going to be trash. JJ McCarthy and Bo Nix. I think
I'm not fucking with Bo Nix. I'm not fucking with Bo Nix because Bo Nix was ass in Auburn. He wasn't him. And now he's on this uber talented Oregon team in a weak Pac-12 conference. And now he's the man.
Penix is a year off of being ready. Bo is the next most ready.
Nah. I don't think so. I think the guy from Penn State, I forgot his name. Whoever the guy from Penn State is, he's the next most ready after Shedeur Sanders. So I think Shedeur Sanders is pro ready. I think he is. I really do.
Bo Nix is old as shit.
He's like a Stetson Bennett, bro. He is using an extra year of eligibility to play for fucking Oregon right now.
Feels like he's been in college since Manti Te'o was in Notre Dame.
Bro, he was Auburn's like 4-year starter, bro.
Yeah, that's
3-year starter at Auburn. He's fucking old. He's like 24, 25.
Yeah, that ain't it.
Fuck out of here.
Yo, one of the last things that we got to talk about before we go, the Cam Newton wanting $5.5 million at least to come play for the Jets. He's just insane. That guy's nuts. I don't know if you guys saw the clip I put on Instagram this morning of him chatting with Tyreek Hill. And he's just talking about his 2 inches of straight venom that he has in his pants, quote unquote. Crazy quote from Cam Newton. Guy's got an insane bag on him. And it's clear that the CTE is now getting to him because he's expecting nearly $6 million to come and play football for the Jets.
Cam Newton is wilding, first and foremost. He just, if the Jets actually do fucking, I mean, he ruined all of his chances for them to call him now. If he was on that interview like, yeah, I'll play tomorrow for the Jets. Mm-hmm. Give me the contract. Give me the vet min. Give me $2 million, whatever, for the year. 1 year contract. Run it. Let's get it. I bet you they've been on the line with him today.
Nah, but he acted like a little bit.
You're not about to penny pinch me. You're not about to do this. You're not about to do that. Bro, this is not on your terms, bro.
Yeah, this can't be choosers.
This is not on your terms. This is on the Jets' terms at the end of the day. Yeah. The Jets are the ones that have to reach out to you.
And let's be realistic here. Zach Wilson played a great game against the Chiefs to where they're probably looking at you like, hey, well, the kid just balled out. You know, we're not necessarily begging for somebody. Now, is that entirely true? We don't know. But they have more leverage off of Monday than or Sunday night than they did. So, I don't know. Cam Newton's definitely wild to me.
I agree. Zach Wilson still hasn't shown me much. I don't give a fuck how good he did against the Chiefs.
It was a solid game. That was it.
He didn't win. That's all I know. He didn't lead him back to a champ. I mean, to win. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's
the refs were shit.
The refs were dog shit. How do you feel about that slide at the end by Mahomes saving all the Jets plus 8 guys?
I mean, it's.
It's rigged,
I guess, but like it's one of those scenarios where it's like if he goes in, the outcome was already there, right?
I get that
play happens in football. It's more
I get it.
That's more of a common play than what the Rams did. you know, kicking
the field. Oh, no, that was crazy. That was absurd. That was way, way crazier. Obviously, Mahomes had the choice of finish the game right now or kick the field goal and let your defense go on and
just keep
prolonging the game. You know, Mahomes doesn't give a fuck. He's going to finish the game. Let me get out of here.
Yep.
You know, and he did. That Rams shit was crazy.
Timmy Cox, go Rams this weekend. Let's go,
Rams. Let's go, Rams. I'm fucking with y'all. We'll be at Jama Grill watching the game. 4 o'clock games. Pull up.
Yep.
Eagles, Rams at Jama Grill Sports Bar in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Make sure y'all pull up. It's going to be fun. DJ So Wavy, DJ Focus. Actually, DJ Sweat. I lied. DJ Sweat. And amazing Jamaican food. Big Sunday box. Ticket. We're giving away an Xbox.
Jerseys.
We're giving away signed memorabilia, beautiful women, hookah, drink specials, the best Jamaican food you could ever fucking eat. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. Pull up. It's going to be pull up. Just pull up. Pull up. Pull up. Pull up. But one more thing. We got one more topic left. And Brock Purdy is a very interesting story. He still has a roommate in San Fran, and he's splitting rent with the roommate. He's still driving a Toyota Sequoia. He's only making like $800,000 a year. And that's like...
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, but not in San Francisco, though.
No.
San Francisco is the most expensive place to live in the country,
yeah,
besides New York City. It's San Francisco. I think San Francisco is more expensive than New York City.
Yeah, they got the fruit cups over there running that bitch
up. All right. Come on. But
it's crazy. No, San Fran's it's nuts out there. That's how you save your money. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely smart.
I think Brock Purdy is making a sound, smart decision, but it's also a fucking shame on San Francisco in general, the city of San Francisco, that the wages of living are so high in San Francisco that your starting quarterback to your professional football team still has to have a roommate and has to drive a fucking Toyota Sequoia in order to live on an $870,000 a year salary.
Well, I don't know if he has to. He doesn't have to.
To live comfortable, he has to.
But I think it's just the smart move because in the NFL, there's no guaranteed money, right? He's one injury away, one Joe Theismann away from never seeing another dime of football money ever again. So I don't know. Said it right here. There's no need to rush just because you play in the league. He's about to get a big bag once that contract runs up.
I agree. Sure. I think he's just... I'm saying that to say this, it's a shame on the city of San Francisco. I'm not saying Brock Purdy is stupid. I think Brock Purdy is absolutely smart for what he's doing. He's making the right decision. I think the city of San Francisco is the ones that need to be laughed at because how the fuck are you making $870 a year and you still have to have a roommate and drive a Toyota Sequoia? If he was making that $870 in motherfucking Tennessee,
oh man,
on the Titans, you have a two-bedroom house with a nice car and still be living the same wages. You understand what I'm trying to say? If it was in Dallas with no income tax or Florida with no income tax, you understand what I'm saying? But he's in fucking Cali and San Fran at that. And that's not – it's still living paycheck to paycheck if he has his own, you know, penthouse loft in San Fran. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get it. It's what's wrong with contracts. I personally think all contracts should have 50% of their value be incentive-based to give guys like him a chance to make more. I don't know about all contracts, but, maybe some you could have. So I don't know. Who's going to eat more this weekend, Puka or Kupp? Listen, man, if Cooper Kupp is back on the field, you best believe Stafford is going to be feeding that man the rock.
I promise you, if Cooper Kupp is on that field, he will eat more than Puka. He is better than Puka. Puka has just been a nice fill-in for Kupp, and Puka will get his. Don't get it fucked up. He'll still see 10-plus targets a week, but Coop is going to get at least 15 targets a game. Mm. The one that's really going to hurt on that Rams offense when Kupp comes back is Tutu Atwell.
Yeah.
Tutu Atwell will get the brunt of the non-targets. Tutu is getting about damn near 10 targets a game with Puka. That's going to go down to 5 real quick. 4-3 with Kupp in. So we'll see what happens.
We shall. But, all right, guys, I think that's going to wrap us up for tonight. We're going to go watch some Thursday night football. I hope everyone has enjoyed the episode. Don't forget, like Simo said, we got John McGrill this weekend. Sunday. pop out 1 o'clock games. We're going to be kicking off, and you already know. You already know where to find us. Make sure you're dropping a like, drop a follow, wherever you're coming in. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
Peace. Take it easy. Peace.